this weekend you're doing a workshop at the old school. I see it's from 10 till 3 on Saturday. And who's it for?
Well, what we've decided to do to raise some funds is do some of the things that we all do well. And, well, I'd like to think I do it well. I haven't run one of these workshops for a few years, but it occurred to us when we were, you know, discussing ideas that it might be good to dust this off and bring it back out in a slightly revised format, because I think over the last 2 to 3 years with the pandemic, people have had time to reflect and look at what they're doing. Jobs have changed, jobs have come and gone, people work from home more, so perhaps there are people out there that are looking at starting or are already engaged in a creative practice that they're earning money from, and this is to help support that journey.
So this is aimed specifically at potential writers, how to make money from their creativity, or how to make their creativity sustainable, I think is probably a good spin to put on it.
But not just writers. It's open to all creative practice. I myself am a musician, songwriter, as well as a writer. So I bring that experience. We have other members of the Ink Spillers who have other creative practices, such as visual arts, painting, and so on. So what tends to happen, I think, is that people who are creative have more than one string to their bow anyway. And although we're running this as a fundraiser for the Ink Spillers, we're certainly casting the net wide to all sorts of creative practice, and that can include things like design, you know, online digital images, that sort of thing, film, you know, performance,
and musicians as well, no doubt.
Yes. Well, and also more in the dramatic performance as well, those kind of creative practices, they all have their own unique elements, but there are some things that are common to all practices but are different from a normal, what we would call 9-to-5 kind of business or a retail business,
So I think for I've done something similar like this with you. And I know what you've done in the past. I think one of the key things from my perspective is that it's like some practical skills there to enable people to figure out, even if they can make a living from their art form, from their creativity, and a guide, I guess, to how they would do that. Have I summed that up okay?
Yes, you have, and quite right. I mean, we can't provide every answer in a short workshop like that, but we can provide a toolbox and point people in the right direction for the things they need to think about. And it doesn't matter where on that spectrum somebody is with their creative practice or even with their business. I'd like to think that people take away some new ideas and new ways of looking at it, even if they have been selling their work for some years or working as a musician or whatever. It just kind of opens the door to other aspects of how they might grow their business or manage it, making it easier to manage. Sometimes the administration side of it can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so we touch on things like that as well.
Well, you run an accounting firm, so I presume you have advice on how to cope with that. Like once you do your art, you suddenly become a salesperson as well, and then you have to do tax, which I suspect scares a lot of people.
Yeah, that gets a lot of people a bit anxious at times. And yes, we do talk a little bit about that in the workshop as well. The difficulty for many creative practitioners is they don't quite know when they've transitioned from being a hobby to a business. So we look at some aspects of that, but we also touch on things that would be relevant to people who have already been in business for a while, maybe are already filing tax returns reporting their earnings from creative practice, but we just kind of give an overview of some of the things to think about. Sometimes it just is one little thing that somebody will take away from that part of the workshop, but sometimes it's a whole new world. And I think it's an important thing to take the fear out of it, because once you understand what your obligations are, that part just becomes much easier to manage. And it's often the scariest bit and one of the things that holds some of us back from engaging in being our own boss. Mm. And that applies actually across the board, not just at the creative practice, but any business. It can be a scary step. So
yeah, I imagine for someone like, well, I'm thinking of CDs now, which is not really a good example, but back in the day, someone would be a musician and they have a go at making some music and might sell a CD while they're busking or something like that. Well, nowadays they can sell a download card and that sort of thing. Yeah. And so you do that kind of casually just to try it out, and you're completely flying under the radar of the tax department. I don't know if they even care about things like that. But at some point, I guess you do get to that point where you might start feeling, should you worry? I mean, how long can you go? How far can you go as a musician before you get discovered by the tax department?
Yes. Well, and that is a fair question, and applies to all art practices as well. But just to use your example, I mean, often the production of a CD can be quite expensive up front, and it may take a number of sales of copies of it before you even break even. So, you know, sometimes when we look at things like this from a different perspective, we're kind of saying to the participants in these workshops, you have to go away and evaluate this for yourself, because, you know, everyone's situation is different. But don't be afraid to do that, because you may find that in the early days, for example, you're not actually making a taxable income. So that is definitely something to be thinking about. But then the question comes up, where to from there? In each case, it's a unique answer, so we do encourage people to go away and do some thinking about their own situation and then maybe seek more advice. One of the things I'll be offering will be a coaching session if people want to sign up for that. That'll be a separate thing, one-on-one. In that, we focus on a mix of things, not just tax. I mean, that's a small part of it. I think some of the biggest questions that creative practitioners are grappling with is things like, how do they price their work, especially in visual arts, for example. That's quite challenging. So we'll be sort of looking at bigger picture stuff there as well. And you mentioned, you know, sometimes you can't make a living from what you're doing creatively to start with. So how do you manage that? If you do want to step out of perhaps a full-time paid job and give it a go, what do you do next? How do you, you know, keep food on the table? So we touch on a variety of things, including those issues.
That issue of how to charge for your art, I think that comes up time and time again. I know I would struggle with that if I was producing art. I know for sure I would probably undercharge.
Yeah, that's a common thing, I think. And it doesn't just apply to the creative industries either, but it certainly is more prevalent because it's not like you're turning out the same thing every time and you can do a costing and then you can work out what profit you want to make on those items that you were turning out. Exactly the same one after the other. Visual arts is a good example. You might do a painting that is quite small, and then you might do one that is a very large canvas. What's the difference? Apart from the cost of the canvas, is the art worth any less because it's a small piece? You know, those questions are really interesting to grapple with. And then there are all sorts of other marketing tools that we touch on in the workshop, because they're things that help you to understand your place in the market and help with that pricing decision. But It's a difficult one.
yeah, and probably the biggest difficulty here, we're in a small country, and I interview musicians a lot, and I'm always like, quit the day job yet, you know, and most haven't. That are coming through, like, do you have advice about that? Like, is there some way of balancing? How do you do it? Like, honestly.
Well, yes, that's why I'm an accountant as well as a musician, I guess, and so I've got first-hand experience of making some choices around that.
Yeah.
And so do many of the people that I know in the creative sector. There's often a question as to whether you should seek part-time employment, whether it should be the same in the same fields as your creative practice, or whether you're better off to do something completely different. And so in the workshop, we'll also be exploring with Stephanie Phelps' assistance, because she's one of the ink spillers as well, and yep. She's coming along. She's going to do a brief discussion about values, and this is all part of that discussion that one has to have with oneself, I guess, about where your lines are, where do you think you're going in life, big questions, but down to how do you want to manage your creative practice, and what would it mean if you had a job doing something else unrelated or related to that creative practice, and everyone's answers to those sort of big questions and drilling down into those other things of, you know, how does this job align with my creative practice? They're all unique to each one of us. So we present some tools in the workshop that people can take away and work through and go from there. And like I said, you know, there's an opportunity to follow up on a one-on-one basis if there's some burning questions, and more assistance would be helpful. So we're kind of looking at it from the perspective of this is just a stepping stone for attendees.
Yeah. So I guess it's that debate of also if you turn your passion into your job, does it kill the passion? And I think there's quite different perspectives on that.
Yes, there are, and I could speak about my own experiences there as well, and I probably will, you know, reveal myself in the workshop up to a point anyway. But yes, there are times where, as a performing artist, the repetition can have two effects. One is it becomes easeful, and suddenly you find other elements to enjoy in it.
Right.
But another aspect of it is, it's just like a day job. I've gone home and I'm tired and I don't feel like finishing that song I started 2 years ago. So, again, it's a unique experience, and some of it, of course, depends on the type of work that your creative practice has taken you into.
So have you had songs that have literally sat around for a few years?
Yes. Right. I'm putting another hat on briefly. I just finished a song that's been sitting around for 10 years. Finished it in the studio a couple of months ago.
Well done.
We record with Robbie Duncan in Wellington. He's an old friend as well as a fabulous recording technician and engineer, and he does do a lot of the kind of genre that we do. So, yeah.
So, Are you satisfied with how you've made your life work? That you wanted to be a musician, you've built the accountancy, put that string to your bow, and you've kind of tried to balance it through your life. Like, are you satisfied with how you did that?
Well, I think I've enjoyed the best of both worlds. Right through, to be fair. At times there is huge pressure from one side or the other, and you sometimes can feel you're not delivering to that side.
Yeah.
And, of course, sometimes you've got so many balls in the air you're not sure if you're going to drop one. That's actually all part and parcel of being a creative person anyway, I think. But, yes, overall, one of the things I love about dusting off these workshops and getting back into it is the arts biz part of my life bridged the gap between the two things that I do the most,
yeah.
which is creative practice and working as a accountant. So it allows me to bring the two elements together. And the first time I did this, which would have been back in the early 2000s, I realized it's a relatively unique situation to be in. There are, you know, other accountants who are performing artists, for example, or work in other creative sectors, but there aren't that many of us.
You don't hear, you have to be honest, you don't hear about creative accountants except as a negative term. It's something that shouldn't be happening. Yeah.
Yeah, we try and avoid that term, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, there's been this phrase, and I'm kind of hearing it more from the US, I think, but they're calling it the Great Resignation. After COVID, a lot of people discovered that they might have been afraid to leave their jobs, but after they had to spend time away from their jobs, they realized that they actually were better off without them, and they're having trouble hiring staff. Do you think a lot of those people are looking at creative careers now?
Yes, or multiple income stream type careers, which is often what a creative practitioner ends up doing. So, yes, I think it's given people the courage to take that leap of faith. And it's also caused many of us to reevaluate our lives in general. So this is, again, coming back to the portion of the workshop that Steph is going to run, and, you know, present some tools to the participants to take away with them to think about it. It's allowed us to reevaluate the values that we have and apply those in so many different parts of our lives. So, I think there are a lot of people out there who are perhaps looking at these creative things that they may have done when they were young but gone off and got a real job.
Yeah,
that sort of thing is, it's part of our culture too, I have to say, is that while we appreciate the arts and foster them pretty well in New Zealand on many levels, there is still that thing about what's a real job, you know, and I still hear that question or that comment, even now after all this time. So it is about changing those views of what a creative practice means. And so some people have perhaps sat at home, done their work, been in lockdowns or whatever, and had a chance to rethink and realize, well, actually, I could make that my real job,
Hey, Lynn, it's been really cool talking to you this morning. I'll just sort of wrap up for people. There's a workshop, Earning Your Living from Doing What You Love workshop, 10 till 3 at the Old School on Saturday. And you're the facilitator, but I hear Stephanie Phillips also talking. Is anyone else involved?
Well, I think one or two of the ink spillers may be coming along. And if they are, they'll probably get called on. But I'm hoping they're not listening to this at the moment. But it's me facilitating, and Steph has, agreed to help out, which is wonderful. She'll have copies of her book available for sale there as well. There'll be handouts. There'll be all sorts of resources available. And, yeah, we're looking forward to a fun day. It's people generally leave these workshops with a smile on their face. So, you know, it's not all just about tax and how to use your calculator or anything like that.
Yeah, no, it's about how to open up the future a little bit, I think that's how I would describe it. Yeah,
and explore your own journey, but maybe also there's an opportunity to network, make new friends. That's always a good thing as well. So,
And it says here, I've got the pamphlet, to register at inkspillersraglan@gmail.com. Is that compulsory? You need to register first?
Well, it would be appreciated if people did. Obviously, we produce some resources for people to take away with them, so killing trees is not a favourite thing of mine. So it is helpful to know how many people are going to come. And I think also we need to look at the space. So if participants are filling up the spaces quickly, we may have to consider running a second workshop. So
we never know that.
Which we would do.
That could easily happen. I see Inkspillers has got a website, inkspillers.org, as well, in case people want to go that way. It's on there. I've just checked it there. Okay, so that's because people don't remember. You tell them email or phone number now. People don't remember these things, but if they know they can Google Inkspillers Raglan, that'll do the job. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And that, you know, if they have any questions, feel free to use the Inkspillers email to ask those questions about the workshop. And those will get redirected to me, and I will respond. So
that's inkspillersraglan@gmail.com. That's that email.
Let me just double check that, Aaron.
I'm looking at the handout. Yeah, I've actually got a handout here in the studio. So
yes, you're quite right. inkspillersraglan@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, Lynn. You have something else to add?
No. I was just going to thank you for your time, Aaron. It's been great to catch up. It's been a while.
Yeah. And like as I said at some point during the interview, like I have done a similar course with you, and I do recommend it. It's well worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate the vote of support.
All right, Lynn. Thanks for your time this morning.